Heavenly Father, keep us from every false gospel and help us believe and confess Jesus Christ, crucified, that faith may increase in us and that your holy church would be faithful to your word in all things. Your power is greater than all the might of man. Bless those who make, administer, and judge our laws, and create in us both the desire and the will to be good citizens, obeying all just laws and serving our neighbor in love. Grant comfort and peace to all who have lost loved ones and all who died in service to their country. Give to all who suffer relief, to the sick, healing, and to the dying, your peace. Grant to all who cry out for help, reassurance of your presence and gracious will. We remember those who have requested our prayers. Lord, many in our congregation are grieving this week. Sandra Sinisco, Peter Martins, the Vernacki family, their grandfather and father Arthur, the Hawkins family, mourning the death of their mother and grandmother Gloria Miller. All these people are with you now, Lord, but many of us grieve, and please comfort us all. Many are facing or recovering from health concerns and have requested our prayers. Pastor Dwayne Wugazer, Jasper and Jean Sugg, Kellyn Barrett, Bill Klaus, Robert Waldron, Bunny Hainer, Jenny Claude Pierre, Carrie Lenowski, Lenore Stevens, Betty Owens, Scott Pariseau, Barb Erickson, Laura Anderson, Pete Redabaugh, Jeff Wellman, Cheryl Timlin, Sharon Tylenda's mother-in-law, Bob and Ann Minnock, Paul Cobb, Tom Plagens, Rhonda Boss, Chris Teeley, Kathy Legault, Tyler Kruger, Bob Sack, Paula Butler's mother, Kathy, Diana, Jennifer, and Phil Bates, whose brain cancer has returned. Lord, these are the people that have requested our prayers. Many of us before you now have people, situations, concerns that we wish to bring before you now in prayer. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord. We pray especially for those in hospice care. Eileen Ging, Mr. Cagle, Nancy Lupo. Lord, grant them peace and keep them strong in their faith as they await their Lord's call home. We pray for wisdom for our president, our governor, and all of our local and world leaders. We pray for the men and women serving our nation in the military. Prayers of thanksgiving for all who celebrate birthdays and wedding anniversaries this week. And Lord, thank you for the lovely flowers in the chapel, at the chapel altar, given by Bonnie Brooks in loving honor of James Rose Jr.'s birthday. The flowers at our sanctuary altar given by Robin Swift and Gary Sullivan in honor of the Redeemer parishioners. And those at the lectern given by Joe and Jim Conti in celebration of their 27th wedding anniversary. Lord, thank you for the continuing generosity of those who sponsor the Family of God Soup Kitchen. This month, that's the Dorantes, the Grove, and the Raisler families. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. In the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Please be seated. It's been a tradition at Redeemer for many, many years to honor those who have served our country in the military. And so I would ask at this time if there are any men or women who have either served in the military or served now to please rise. If there are any widows or widowers who are among us, please rise. Any family members or the family of someone who has served, we ask you to rise also. We rise for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. Christ.
I don't know if you ever seen, I think it's on the O'Reilly Factor, they have this guy, and he goes out and he interviews people on the street. And he asks them questions that, you know, for the most part, we as Americans should know. It's called Waters World. You ever see that? Well, the other day, Friday, he's out asking questions, and it's all connected to, obviously, the holiday weekend, Memorial Day. And it was, now, I'm sure many of the people he interviews gets the questions right, but boy, there are, looks like a lot of people get the questions wrong, and it's surprising. He asked this one question, what does Memorial Day commemorate? It was amazing how many people had no knowledge. Another question, who did America defeat in the Revolutionary War? People didn't know. Who won the Civil War? People didn't know. He's trying to help this one lady, and he says, you know, who won the Civil War? Remember, it was the North against the South. And she said, oh, yeah, North America against South America. Who did America fight in World War II? Who bombed Pearl Harbor? Who did America fight in the Vietnam War? People didn't know it was Vietnam. Why did they call it the Cold War? One person said, because it was during winter. It's sad. It's sad as a nation. If we don't know our history, we're going to lose our way. We're going to lose who we are. And we're going to become something different. It's unfortunate when we fail to pass on to our young an appreciation for all the sacrifices that people made for us to have what we call in this nation freedom. It's sad that so many live in ignorance of the reality of what has happened around them. You ever go read a roadside marker? You know, my dad, he was the kind of guy, he'd read a marker and he'd read the whole thing. And, you know, a young kid, you'd, come on, why? I didn't want to read anything. Come on, let's go. And he'd read the whole thing. And now, you know, I find myself, I'll read a roadside marker. And, you know, sometimes you really get connected to that marker commemorates something that happened there, something important, something that changed the world. Even young, growing up, Memorial Day weekend, I always remember on Memorial Day, that was the day we'd go shop for all the plants and flowers for the gardens at our house. And the morning was always great. It was the afternoon when my father started planting the garden. Everything was a project to that man. Hey, the tomato plants had to be at the right distance. Tomato plants, who cares? I just didn't get it. But anyways, the morning, we would go to the cemetery, you know, visit the graves of some loved ones. And then there'd always be some kind of ceremony. There'd be soldiers there, and there'd be a speaker. You know, I was a young kid. I didn't understand what was going on. I know they'd shoot a gun, and I'd get the casings, the shells from the bullet. I thought that was so cool. My dad was passing on to the next generation what was important about this nation, taking time to reflect and remember. The ceremony would always take place, you know, by a headstone of someone who served in the military. And you know, those headstones are easy to identify. They're in the front cover of your bulletin. But it's a military headstone. It's like a stone of remembrance. You remember a great event, or you remember a person who sacrificed so much for this country. Our Old Testament lesson today: Joshua is leading the children of Israel into the Promised Land. It used to be Moses leading the people. They had been at this location once before. God said, Canaan, that's where the Promised Land was going to be. It belongs to you. They sent spies there, and the spies came back. Oh, this is a land flowing with milk and honey, but let me tell you, the people are big there. We look like grasshoppers. They got strong armies. Don't think we can do it. God's not going to give us the victory. We're not strong enough. And God said, well, if you fail to trust in me, fine. Not one of this generation will enter the Promised Land. You're going to wander in the wilderness 40 years. Actually, there were two who entered the Promised Land that were a part of that generation. Joshua and Caleb, a mighty warrior who didn't question the ability of God to give them that land. So, 40 years have passed. They come now to the Promised Land. The Jordan River is before them. It is at flood stage, we're told. So it's that time of year, it's at flood stage, the highest it can be. This generation, except only a couple, witnessed what God did at the Red Sea when he opened it up and they passed on dry ground, and then God swallowed up Pharaoh's army. Well, now this generation is going to see something very similar. Get the Ark of the Covenant. Tell the priest to step into the water. And as soon as their feet touch the water flow stops. They go into the center and people cross the Jordan on dry ground. A lot of people going to the Promised Land. God says, this is a big event, Joshua. I don't want you to forget it. I don't want the people to follow you to forget it. Get 12 strong men and tell them to go get 12 stones. Take those stones to Gilgal. That's where you're going to spend the night. That's where you're going to camp, pretty close to the Jordan. And make a memorial. Stones of remembrance. It wasn't just for that generation. It was for the generation to follow. When your children ask, because there's a lot of stones there, but it's unusual to have them all piled up. When your children ask, why are those stones piled up? You're going to tell them the story of how I opened the Jordan River and how you passed on dry ground and how I gave you the Promised Land. You're going to tell the next generation. Psalm 102, verse 18, let this be written for a future generation that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. Psalm 71:18, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. That's what God was telling them. I want my mighty act to be remembered. These stones are evidence that I am moving among you, that I care for you, that I protect you, that I watch over you, that I'm faithful to my promises. These stones are my signature. This memorial is my signature. God, I'm in your life. It's important to pass on to the next generation the acts and works of God. Important. It's important as parents or grandparents or a congregation to make sure the next link in the chain knows the power of God, knows his holy word, knows what he has accomplished from the beginning of time. It's important for them to know what God did in order to save us and bring us the gift of eternity. You know, you go to some churches, you're not going to see a cross. It's unfortunate. But when you think about it, it's unusual that we have a cross in our sanctuary or around our neck. I mean, it's an instrument of death. If Jesus was killed on the electric chair, could you imagine wearing a little pendant of an electric chair? That's funny, isn't it? But it's the same thing. But that cross is a memorial. It takes us back 2,000 years to the hill of Calvary, where God laid down his life for us, where Christ died in our place, paid the price for everything we've ever done wrong, for all the sins of the world. No greater love than to somebody lay down their life for their friends. He would give his life for our eternity. That cross always takes us back to that. In fact, the Lord's Supper is also a memorial meal. It's 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Luke 22, 19, and he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Not only does Christ is the host and the food, his very body and blood, he is saying, remember. Remember the cross. Remember what I did for you. Remember how I sacrificed and gave you the gift of eternity. Sometimes when we sing a hymn, maybe it's more gospel-associated songs, when we talk about heaven, many times heaven is pictured as the promised land and death, the Jordan River. Where does that come from? It comes from this Bible passage. God opens up the Jordan River to bring them to the promised land. God takes us through death to bring us to the promised land, the gift of eternity. He is with us every step of the way. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back, take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. I think it's important to look in our own lives and see where God signed his name in some event, where God deserves some type of memorial to be put up in our memory or even in reality. There was God in my life. There he was in the darkness. There he was when I needed him. To be able to look back on that, especially in times of trouble in our day and age, if whatever you're facing, to say, God was with me yesterday. I saw him. He signed his name to this event. He's with me today. I may not feel him. I don't see it happening right now, but he is with me. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. These buildings we call Redeemer, they're memorials. Not memorials to the past generation who built them, or even to our generation who participated in building. They're memorials for God. It is evidence that God is working among us, doing great things. And who knows what is to follow? Who knows what the plans are? But these are memorials. And we're reminded in our epistle lesson for today, we're soldiers, soldiers of the cross. A soldier has work to do. A soldier has an assignment, a task, a responsibility. And our tour of service isn't done until we breathe our last. Until then, we're active duty. Where has God placed you today? How are you going to minister today to the people around you? Maybe it is raising your children in the faith or grandchildren. Maybe it is stepping into somebody's trouble in life and taking on some responsibility. Maybe it is in the workplace, sharing your faith, pointing somebody to the cross of Calvary, that great sacrifice for our eternity. Maybe it is linking the next generation, especially here at Redeemer, maybe teaching Sunday school or being participating in our confirmation classes so that link in the chain to the next generation continues. I want you to give some thought on this Memorial Day weekend as you remember the sacrifice of so many people who laid down their lives for this nation. Also remember, you inhabit another nation. You belong to this country, but more importantly, you belong to the country of God. You're a soldier of His. This is our headquarters. Out there is our service. What is it He had called you to do? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for today is taken from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, selected verses. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Here ends the epistle reading.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is recorded for us in the book of John, the 15th chapter. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
grace, mercy, and peace be on you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
Invite the children forward for the children's sermon. Like commercials when you're watching TV?
No.
No, I know, but I have a commercial. See this handy dandy beautiful chair? Yeah, I'm gonna sit in it. I don't know if I'll be able to get up, but I'm gonna sit in it. But we're cleaning out a storage unit and we have a few of these left, so if anybody wants to buy, $2 a piece. Can't beat that. They see that as a commercial. No, you didn't like it? Okay, never mind. I got a picture I want to show you. It's in my office. I brought it out. See that man? What's he wearing? A suit? What kind of suit is that? Look closely. An army uniform. Yeah. That's a picture of my dad. He lives in heaven now. But when he was a young man, there was a war going on called World War II, and he served during that war. I like the white scarf he's wearing. That's a nice uniform, isn't it? What? I was a kid at one point, yes. I still am. I'm just really a big kid. And so my dad served in the Army. And I think once you serve in the Army or something of the military, this country becomes even more important to you because you give a lot, you sacrifice a lot to help the country. And this weekend is Memorial Day, and a lot of people just think, well, it's a long weekend. How nice. But Memorial Day was set aside as a day to remember, especially soldiers, men and women who gave their life for this country. And so that's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna think about how important it is to remember. Remember what other people do for us, remember things in our life and what God has done for us. So we love our country and we always sing God Bless America. This is what you're getting, a sticker today with a flag on it. It says God Bless America. And I want to thank you for coming up, and you can go to Sunday school now. Good morning.
I'd
like to welcome everyone to worship, and as always, please take time to sign a guest card at some point during our worship service. June 5th, we'll be beginning our summer praise, and that's where our 10:30 service has the piano leading us in worship. So just so you're aware of that, because I know some people really like it and some people avoid it, but that'll start June 5th. Also, Picnic at the Parsonage is June 8th. And we'd love to have you come to the parsonage for a picnic. Please sign up so we can make sure we have all the things necessary, especially some Lutheran beverages. Youth room, our youth group, every Wednesday, the youth room is open 5 to 8 o'clock. And we have a number of two different mother-daughter Bible studies starting up, so check that out in the announcements. Also in the announcements, you'll notice there's a sacred space update. We're going to do that through the lamp and through the announcements just to keep you informed of where we are as we're looking in the sacred space. Also, congregational meeting June 12th following the 10:30 service. All are invited to attend and participate in that. Also, a meeting today following the 10:30 service concerning our trip to Germany. So if you're interested, you can come to that meeting around 11:30. And also, we're going to have that same meeting this Tuesday at 7 p.m. In the great room. And finally, but very importantly, we want to wish Jan Flieger a happy birthday. She played at our 8 o'clock service, which is unusual, but always a treat. So I surprised her and said, will you lead us, you know, with the piano? And she said, I don't know the song. I have to have the music. So it was quite embarrassing, I'm telling you. So I said, Jan, could you get the music for 9 o'clock? Do you have it? Can you lead us? Sounded so good. We rise for opening hymn.
We invite Bob Erlewine to address us.
Good morning. Early in my Air Force career, Memorial Day took on special significance. It's 50 years ago now. I was a member of an honor guard. Memorial Day weekend was a busy time for the honor guard, with participation in numerous parades and ceremonial events. But during the rest of the year, it was the business of burial duty. It was the 60s, and Vietnam was taking a toll. The honor guard was an additional duty, but we readily accepted the responsibility. We practiced regularly and took extra care to ensure our appearance and performance was as flawless as possible. Because of our unit's physical location and complement of personnel, albeit limited, we were frequently called upon to provide military honors for Army and Navy personnel as well as members of the Air Force. It was a solemn duty, and it gave me a profound perspective that served me throughout my career. Memorial Day is the day set aside to honor those fallen heroes that served in our country's military services. But what motivated each of them to serve and give that last full measure of devotion? Reasons, I believe, are as varied as the times and events of their day, and the recollections of which they were familiar. What were those recollections that stirred them to serve? A couple years ago, I was asked to present something patriotic to open a conference at the U.S. Army Tank Automotive and Armaments Command. In my research and preparation, I found a narrative that might reflect why American men and women choose to serve in the armed forces. It's a mosaic of images that represents a view of what constitutes the nation we wish to preserve. The essay was written in 1955 by Otto Whitaker as a public relations advertisement for the Norfolk and Western Railway, and has been periodically revised to include historically significant people and events. It embodies a rich and colorful list of iconic people, places, and events that describe America and might have influenced even some of us. It's been widely reprinted, generally without attribution. It's been set to music. It's reprinted, reprinted by some newspapers every Independence Day. And it's been read into the Congressional Record several times. And of single note, it was recorded by Johnny Cash. It is called I Am the Nation. I am the nation. I was born on July 4, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. Bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. Many things and many people, I am the nation. I'm 319 million living souls and the ghosts of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I am Washington, Jefferson, and Patrick Henry. I am John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I am Lee, and Grant, and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. Left my heroic dead in Flanders Fields, on the Rock of Corregidor, on the bleak slopes of Korea, in the steaming jungle of Vietnam, on the sands of Iraq, in the hills of Afghanistan. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, in the granite hills of Vermont, in the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and the Grand Canyon. I'm Independence Hall, Monitor in the Merrimack. I am big. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific. My arms reach out to embrace Alaska and Hawaii, 3 million square miles throbbing with industry. I am more than 2 million farms. I am forest, field, mountain, and desert. I am quiet villages and cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia with his bread loaf under his arm. You can see Betsy Ross with her needle You can see the lights of Christmas. Hear the strains of Auld Lang Syne as the calendar turns. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 103,000 schools and colleges and 350,000 churches where my people worship God as they think best. I'm a ballot dropped in a box, the roar of a crowd in the stadium and the voice of a choir in a cathedral. I'm an editorial in a newspaper and a letter to a congressman. I'm Eli Whitney and Stephen Foster. I am Tom Edison, Albert Einstein, Billy Graham. I am Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Jonas Salk, and Martin Luther King. I'm Longfellow, Harriet Beecher Stowe, Walt Whitman, and Thomas Paine. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom. And God willing, in freedom, I will spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of the hope of the world. This is my wish, my goal, my prayer. In this year of 2016, 240 years after I was born. God bless America. And we have been blessed. And we pray that it continue. On Mother's Day, the men's chorus sang, "There Will I Be" by Craig Courtney. The lyrics included a reference from the Book of John. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Well, friends, tomorrow is Memorial Day. It is the perfect time for each of us to take a moment and submit to God on behalf of those fallen souls a belated thank you for the precious gift that each one of them gave.
Father.